At a tennis tournament earlier this year, something crazy happened. The number four player, Nikolai Davydenko, did I say that right, Tom?
Yes, you did.
All right, was cruising to victory against a much weaker opponent. After winning the first set, he withdrew due to injury. Happens all the time, right? Not exactly. You see, even as Davydenko was ranking up points in the first set, bets were pouring in on his opponent. So when he pulled up lame, some gambling outlets refused to pay out, citing a suspicious flood of last-minute bets on an extreme underdog. Say it ain't so, Davydenko. Is he involved in some of business selling all the tennis whites? Well, he is under investigation. Other players have told the media they've been approached about throwing matches, and John McEnroe says the Russian mafia may be involved. Okay, we got to sort all this out with Tom Parada, senior editor of Tennis Magazine, who's in studio. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are
nice
you
to
doing?
see you in real life.
Great, thanks for having me.
So the New York Times is reporting that a dozen players say they've been approached about throwing a match, or at least have heard similar allegations. Is this a recent development for tennis, or just something people have recently begun to speak about?
I think it's something that people have recently begun to speak about, probably been around for a long time. And the fact that it happened to, this is an incident or a possible incident involving a very high-ranked player, the number four ranked player in the world, has really brought a lot of attention to it. There's about $7 million on that match. The company that was taking the bets is called Betfair. It's a British online gambling company that has about 90% of the online gambling market, from what I've read at least. And
Yeah, right.
They refused.
What I've read.
No,
No.
I know firsthand they do.
And they refused to pay out on the match. And the tour likes to say very specifically that Davydenko is not being investigated, that the circumstances surrounding that match are being investigated. But he's received a lot of the attention. He's been asked to turn over his phone records.
Which he didn't want to do at first,
He didn't
right?
want to do it first, and then eventually he relented, and he has done that. But the investigation has been ongoing since, I think, about August, and there's no really sign yet when it's going to end or what the outcome's going to be.
Well, let me ask you specifically about Davydenko. He's the number four seeded player. The number 124th seeded player was suspended for betting on tennis, hasn't been accused of throwing any matches. But I'm wondering about Davydenko's reputation. Is it hard to believe that he would be involved in something like this?
Well, I think the reason that maybe people have been a little suspicious is he's a hard guy to know. I don't, he doesn't seem to have a lot of close relationships on the tour. His English isn't great, so that's really hurt him in the U.S. media and in British media too. It's gotten better, but it's not fantastic. He keeps to himself. His brother is his coach. He's sort of his own separate thing. He can be a little bit ornery in matches. But, he's been a guy who plays more matches than anybody. He'll play 80, 90 matches in a season. He's very much a workhorse on the tour and earns most of his money from prize money. A lot of the big-time players, or at least a few, Roger Federer, Andy Roddick, men like that, they make, multiples of what they make in prize money in endorsements. Davydenko is not a guy with a lot of endorsements, not a lot of marketing power,
Well,
which is why nobody's ever heard of him.
that's the point that John McEnroe brings up. He's saying that there has to be some sort of outside intimidation for a top-seeded player to get involved in something like this. He could understand how somebody down the ranks might seek out a little bit of cash to do this. Does that argument make any sense to you?
It does make some sense. There's been no evidence of it. It's a speculative thing, but I think McEnroe's point is a good one, in that if there's forces like that involved, and say perhaps someone has paid for your training since you grew up, or they got to you when you were younger and you owe them something, or they have something on a family member, or a family member owes them something, then you have to do a favor back. All those things are, they sound, like bad movies, frankly, but they're possibilities. And that's what the tour is up against, because they've now made a rule where they require players to tell tour officials if someone approaches them about fixing a match. And some of us were in Shanghai for the year-end Masters tournament, and we were talking to the CEO of the tour and asked him, well, what if there's something more nefarious involved here? What do you expect a player to do? And they really want the player to come to them, and they say that they can keep it confidential and they can investigate it properly, use authorities when they need to. But you can see how a person might be skeptical of coming forward in a situation like that if they're fearful. But there's been no evidence of that whatsoever.
I'm kind of surprised that this is the first time, or one of the first times, you've heard a kind of about this, because I was thinking about tennis. Tennis is really unique in that, like baseball, it's hard to throw a baseball game because you're one player, or basketball. And in golf, it's a singular sport. It's just you. But like Tiger Woods, even if he's the best player, there's no guarantee he's going to win every tournament he plays in. But tennis is this thing where there's a clear, better player and a clear worst player, so you can bet on it. And that person then has complete control over if they win or not. I mean, yeah. It seems really easy to throw.
That's
a tennis
what Patrick
mat.
McEnroe was saying. It's an easy game to manipulate.
It's a very easy game to manipulate. I think the clear better player, worst player, though, is something to think differently about. If you look at Roger Federer, he's the best player in the world by far. He's got 12 major titles. If you added up all the points he played this season, he won about 55% of them. So only about 5% more than even. That's the difference between him and everybody else. It's a big difference, but a match is decided by maybe 10 points total. So if you're playing a match, that's why, to me, it's so easy to fix a match and not have people notice, because you don't have to double fault 10 times like us hacks would to lose a match or just dump shots into the net. You can just hit a ball a little bit more in the middle of the court and someone will take advantage of it, and that's all you have to count on. That's why it wouldn't have to look terrible.
It wouldn't have to be this huge, egregious loss.
Exactly. It wouldn't have to look like you really did it. So that's the problem, is it is easy to fix.
We're talking to Tom Perotta, who is senior editor of Tennis Magazine, about some of the alleged goings-on behind-the-scenes action in tennis that may not be necessarily live up to the reputation of tennis. It's sort of interesting that people think of tennis as sort of this upper class, above board. You would never think people would be betting on a tennis like that. Is there something to the reputation of tennis as why people really haven't investigated it?
I don't know about that. I mean, it's been a tough year for the reputation of tennis in general with this and the retirement of Martina Hingis, who seems to have possibly tested positive for cocaine.
Right.
The official results aren't out yet. But, I mean, I think the reputation thing is interesting to me, because if you look culturally, gambling is treated differently around the world. Tennis is a very international sport. And I talked to friends in the Italian press, and the player who was suspended there, the low-rank player, his name's Alessio Di Mauro, was suspended, fined $60,000, 9-month suspension, never gambled on his own matches or was never fixed a match, at least that they found. They sort of thought that was harsh, because they say, oh, this stuff happens a lot. Mm. If you look at golf, there was a survey a couple of years ago by Sports Illustrated, and the Times wrote an article about this in 2005, where 20% of players admitted that they placed a bet at the British Open, either on themselves or on another player, in which the PGA Tour doesn't allow. And caddies, I think, in golf, from what I've heard, bet a lot. I think this stuff sort of happens, and it can be sort of seen as a maybe it's a macho thing, too. Mm. I'll bet on myself or whatever else. You're told not to do it. But I think what's really sorted it out, or really brought it out to attention, is that it's a top-ranked player, and that with the internet now, there's a lot more actually that's known about what's going on in gambling than there was before. And that could be a positive thing. Betfair reports all this stuff to the sports that that their customers bet on. There's a lot more sort of ways to see where money is going and coming from. In the end, that could end up being a positive thing, but right now it's a public relations nightmare for the tour.
Before I let you go, how aggressive is the Association of Tennis Professionals, the ATP, being about all of these allegations?
Well, it seems that they're being pretty aggressive. They're also being very quiet. They're not talking a lot. You know, they don't want to comment on the investigation at all. There's no timeline on when it's going to end. They seem to be acting thoroughly, but there's no word about where it is. It's put Davydenko in sort of a bad spot, because although he's not officially accused of anything, his name is out there.
Associated with this.
And by the end of the season, he was playing horribly and just couldn't wait to get away from everybody. So it's going to be better for him when it ends, or it could be worse for him when it ends. You never know.
But, Tom Perotta, senior editor of Tennis Magazine. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so
much. We understand you have
me.
A tennis match today yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. we do. We have a little in-house holiday hitting party. It ought to be a good time.
I don't want to make it weird, but I got a lot of money riding on you.
you're in for a tough week.
I know if those double faults are real or imagine Perotta. Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, Andy Langer is here to talk new music with us. Wu-Tang and Green Day have some new offerings.